We're doing the Ramban Torat Hashem Tmima, and the Ramban had discussed the capacity that God gave us within the world to know about the future. He had discussed prophecy, and then he had discussed different forms of sorcery. Last week we discussed Oven Yidoni, the different ways of asking questions of the deceased. Uferashti ze, and the Ramban says, and I took the time to explain to you how you can access the dead through the prohibitions of Oven Yidoni. It's prohibited to do that, but he took the time to explain how does this work. Because I want you to know that all the different antics that the pagans do in their idol worship, they all go along this line. Because when someone passes away, they have all kinds of antics, and when they bury their dead, they do that too. Why are they shaking things? They have all these, I don't know what they call them, rattles, that they used to shake as someone would pass away or they'd be burying the dead. He says that goes back to the old custom that they used to shake those rattles when they'd ask questions of the dead. And I want you to know that everything they do, you look at their customs, you look at our customs, very often you think, okay, we have weird customs, they have weird customs. So I want you to understand where their customs come from. Their custom comes from something that's completely defiled and prohibited. Its root is that in a pagan custom that they used to do when they'd ask questions of the dead. And this is an important point. Very often, especially in our generation, that we're so liberal, so people think that just like we have Hanukkah, they have Christmas. What's the difference? You have to take a few minutes, go online and search the true story of Christmas. Go to simpletoremember.com and read about the history of Christmas. How it was a day, where a week from Christmas to New Year, when the pagans would have a law that you can't sue anyone. Whatever people did, you couldn't sue. So you understand, people would rape, people would steal, people would murder, because you can't sue them. They could do whatever they want. It was a week of recklessness. They would take the rabbi of the town and parade him in the town and throw things at him, and he didn't always come out of it alive. If you just read the history, what really was the history of Christmas? Simpletoremember.com. Yeah, or you could do a search, the real story of Christmas. The true story of Christmas. What?
The real story of Christmas. Like, every time you hear the real story,
okay. I don't know. I searched online and I got pretty steady, you know, even from non-Jewish sites, I got a pretty steady picture of...
I've done this before too, but it used to be one of my things to try to do, like, just to throw things at them. But like, I used to always get like these different accounts, like it dates from this, it dates from this, like it goes to the Romans.
Okay.
Egyptians, to this, to that. Like, it's
fine.
Does it really matter if, say, you could claim quite easily that Christmas today is actually just a commercial free, like, commercial day, you know? So, I mean, you could say that it's just so disconnected from its roots already that it's actually lost any of its original meaning.
Right.
It's not really that harmful.
Right.
Use that justification to celebrate themselves.
Let's just try to get one more paragraph in the Ramban. V'gam shalim ha'umot namnachshim. You find people are always trying to figure out the future. They go to all these fortune tellers, and in the Ramban's days, they used to tell the future from the chirping of the birds. And in our day and age, he says, people are still doing it because that's something that you can sense. You could actually see the birds are chirping differently. You know, when an earthquake is about to happen, so the only one that senses it are cats. Because the way their paws are on the ground, they sense the slight tremors. So they go wild, they go crazy when an earthquake's about to happen. They could forecast earthquakes. So God gave different creatures the capacity to sense different things that are about to happen. So they try to listen to the birds and forecast the future. So he says the intelligentsia, the academia, the philosophers deny that any of this works. They say it's all ridiculous. And Rabbi Ibn Ezra also wrote, he says, only people who are acerebral say that that there's anything true to those who can tell the future, these fortune tellers. And he says, if we want to be kind to falsehood, then we'll admit that he's right. See the poetic form? If we want to do kindness to falsehood, we'll admit that he's right. But to be kind to falsehood is something that's beneath our dignity. It would be detracting of ourselves to do that. Because the truth is, they do sometimes get it right. There is something to it. The Medrash says on the verse that there is a wisdom that can be used to know things about the future from listening to the birds chirping or the way they fly. Of tiarin, it comes from the word tiar, which is a bird. And the verse is indicative that you could forecast different things based on some birds chirping and some birds flapping of the wings. So how does all this work? He says, now I'm going to explain how all of this works. And I'm not sure I'm doing something that's so good. But I'm going to do it anyways because I think it's the right thing to do. And that's where we'll pick up next week, where the Ramban is going to explain how can you forecast the future. He described Oven Yidoni last week, and now he brought us into this whole concept of Nichush, a different type of fortune teller, and looking at the birds. And from there he will expand to the concept of different types of angels and demons and other ways to access the future, which we will discuss Bezlat Shem next week. Shabbat.